Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is the Runner's World Podcast.
You're listening to the Runner's World Podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
And me, Ben Hobson.
This week, we're speaking with Hannah Beecham about Red January.
I was inspired by witnessing the effect that regular exercise had on my mum as she went through a period of severe depression. And January, you guys might correct me on this, but I'd never heard anyone say that they look forward to January. The feedback that we've had is people feel much calmer. Having that goal and that focus has been a really key thing that's come out of all of this as well, the thing that motivates people.
What a way to finish off a fine year of podcasting. Hannah's story about Red January is really inspiring. And as a bonus, we also have Stephen Crompton coming in to tell us about why he's running 2,500 miles across Africa.
Blimey.
So Christmas is almost here, Ben. So are you feeling suitably festive?
I cannot wait. I love Christmas.
Yeah, I thought you did.
Christmas Eve is actually... Christmas Eve is one of those sort of... It's the build-up. I like the build-up. The actual day itself is mainly food and just like lying around and feeling a bit sick. But the build-up is the bit that I really enjoy.
Process, not outcome.
Yeah. Maybe it's a bit like training. This is the build-up. Race day, whatever happens, happens. Christmas Day, who knows? But the build-up, no, Christmas Eve is fun. My boy is very excited, so I've got a bit of that. This is the first time that Christmas is like a recognised thing.
And you're hosting this year?
Yeah.
Great, okay.
So, you know, that's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. I'm, you know, convincing him that you have to leave out at least 3 mince pies for Santa is going to be the real thing that I'm going to do. Yeah, and he likes whiskey, so it's fine. Yeah, it's great.
Great.
I'm really looking forward. You feeling festive?
I'm feeling festive. I've of course booked in some kind of trail event.
Idiot.
Over the Christmas period. So I'm doing the third annual Head Torch Marathon. It's around Box Hill.
Yep.
And it's partly organised by Mark Thornbury, who came on.
Yeah, great.
Very inspiring ultra runner who has liver cancer, and all the proceeds from the event are going towards funding liver cancer research.
Excellent.
So it starts... I actually looked into this a bit more, but it's...
Wait, is it actually a marathon?
It's a marathon, and it's not flat.
What day is it?
It's 28th.
Okay, fine.
28th of December.
Oh, your carb load.
There's a lot of carb load before. It starts at 7:30.
Right.
And I've run around Box Hill a lot, and even if you go quickly, that's a five-hour marathon.
Yep.
So that's, what, half 12?
Quick bit of math there for Rick.
Or is it half one? Anyway, it's after midnight.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, and then I've got to get in the car and drive back. But that's my sort of bag, Ben. I'm kind of into that. I think it'll be fun.
The thing that most I want to know, first of all, is what head torch have you got?
I've got one of those Petzl.
Yeah, but which one?
Petzl NAO.
Give me some lumens.
Petzl NAO. No, it's
what you're packing?
No, it's really good. It's like, good. I'm basically like the Northern Star running around Box Hill.
Right, good.
So I'm going to be all right at that front. And I'm hoping, I mean, it's going to be a really great sort of bunch of eccentric people.
It'll be so much fun. I think running around in the dark's the best thing.
Yeah.
Given the chance, going around Epping Forest in the dark, head torch on is a good little way to explore.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I support this endeavour.
Well, thank you very much. So that's going to be me. Let's welcome our guest of the week.
Yes, let's do it.
Guest of the week. Here in the studio. Guest of the week. Sometimes on the phone. Could be an athlete. Could be a physio. Or a complete unknown.
Red January encourages people to get active in the month of January in a bid to boost their mental health and raise funds for Mind. Hannah Beecham started the initiative in 2016 after witnessing the transformative effect that regular exercise had on her mum's mental health. Hannah, welcome to the Runner's World podcast.
Thank you. A pleasure to be here.
Great to have you on. So can you quickly tell us a little bit more about how Red January came into fruition?
Absolutely. So as you say, I founded Red January 4 years ago. I was inspired by witnessing the effect that regular exercise had on my mum as she went through a period of severe depression. And I set us up for a fitness challenge, something for her to work towards, something to motivate her to move and get out the house. Within a few months, I noticed a big increase in her mood and her energy levels, and then she went back to work. I should say as well, obviously, it didn't cure her depression, but it was just the idea of giving her that purpose, giving her something to work towards. And it just, obviously, with it being my mum, I was incredibly inspired by the journey that she went on with exercise. We were training for that particular event during winter. And it just got me thinking about, actually, whether you have a diagnosed mental health problem or not, we all need to support ourselves that bit more during the winter time. And January, you guys might correct me on this, but I'd never heard anyone say that they look forward to January. It's that time of year where you tend to be skint. We're all spending a lot of money at the moment during the Christmas period. And also, you've been around a lot of people, whether you like it or not. So you can start the year perhaps feeling a bit isolated as well. And also it's a time of year where you tend to set goals anyway, quite naturally. So January always felt like the month where really it would be amazing for my mum to continue what she started, for her to have that support, for her to have that goal. So the idea for Red January was born from there.
What was the challenge that your mum wanted to achieve initially, or did you set out? Because I think that's kind of a barrier that a lot of people struggle with, is they go, I need to do something new, but they're never quite sure what it is that they want to do. So what did you sort of set your task for your mum? What was it?
You're probably going to judge me on this, but bless my mum. She'd been signed off work, was in bed.
Yeah.
And I signed us up to a walking marathon.
That's pretty, you've done one of those, haven't you?
Oh yeah, most of my ultra marathons have essentially been glorified long distance walking.
Right, true.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, I went home with that news. So I kind of took that choice out of the equation. But I know from my own experience of signing up to things and having that goal, that thing to work towards, has always been a really powerful motivating factor. And I just thought, you know what, my mum feels quite helpless at the moment. She's got nothing to work towards. I'm here to support her in the lead up to that fitness challenge. And we'd set a 6 month period where we were going to be training for it. So it was enough time for us both to kind of focus on that thing together.
Nice. Yeah, I think that's always the first thing, is making the decision of what it is you want to try and get to.
Yeah, I think it can keep you honest, can't it, having a
goal? Oh, yeah.
What was the early reaction like to Red January, like the first year or the first and second year, say?
So it was a really interesting period. So I started Red January up alongside my full-time job. I never really knew how engaging it was going to be for people. As I said, I set it up really to continue what my mum had started, and had got the word out there organically through word of mouth, through friends and family, and then got a huge surprise on January 1st, 2016, when saw that there was thousands of people from around the world wanting to kickstart their year by getting active every day.
Wow.
Which was incredible. There was such a huge appetite for people to want to support themselves.
Yeah, that's great, isn't it? So it was a kind of instant success, really, in that sense.
Success is, I don't really know what success looks like for Red. I think for me, it was more about providing my mum with a community and something to support her during that period. So the fact that other people wanted that support network and they wanted a goal and a focus throughout quite a tough month, January is deemed as, we talk about the winter blues and things like that. I appreciate that. Obviously, if you do have a mental health problem, you're managing that on a daily basis all year round. But there are studies to say that obviously during the winter time, it can be more difficult. So the fact that people responded to that in the way that they did was incredible. And yes, there was definitely on the 1st of January, there was definitely a few tears of what is happening here. This is incredible.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, that's amazing.
I mean, it sounds like there probably aren't, but are there any rules around Red January? Does anyone have to run a certain distance, or is it just simply a matter of being active?
That's a good question. So for us, it's about being active. And really, we focus very much on allowing people to set their own personal goals. So for some, we had a Redder last year actually run 20 miles every day.
Wow.
that's not something that we would necessarily encourage. But if that's something that you feel comfortable doing, then go for it, absolutely. And then for others, it's about getting out of bed every day and walking to the local shops. So it really is this goal where it's very much unique to the individual, and we encourage you to set a goal that works for you. Yes, studies do say that 30 minutes of exercise has the most beneficial kind of effect on your well-being, but really it's up to the individual.
Why do you think that running is good for people's mental health, Hannah? Why do you think as an activity it's particularly effective?
So I can only really talk from my own experience and obviously what I've witnessed amongst the red community, but the feedback that we've had is people feel much calmer. They feel much more productive. Having that goal and that focus has been a really key thing that's come out of all of this as well, that thing that motivates people. People's self-esteem as well has definitely increased. We've had people that for the first time after taking part in Red January have gone for their first interview, or they've gone to their first park run, where before that period they might have felt a bit intimidated about going. And actually just the idea of bringing people together through sport as well, running, as we all know, is such a special community. And you get the opportunity, if you need some time independently, running allows that for you as well. But also there's so many inclusive communities out there where you can do it and enjoy it together as well.
Yeah, having a support network, I think, is what attracts a lot of people to running as well.
Definitely.
It from meeting people online or joining a community that's established, or even just a running club. I think that's kind of where a lot of the tie-ins with a more positive outlook come in, because you feel better in yourself because you're moving, and then you've got people around you maybe on a similar journey, and it just kind of like brings that together.
Definitely. I think running can often feel like it's a solo sport, but I think people who run really realise it's very, very much a kind of community-based activity, I think.
Absolutely. And there's definitely a few jokes amongst friends. When you're a keen runner, it's kind of all you want to be talking about. So it's quite
yeah.
nice
oh,
that
yeah.
you've
oh,
got...
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
It's good that you've got other pals that you can do that with as well.
There must have been some amazing stories that have come out of Red. Are there any for you that you could tell us about that kind of stand out for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess from my mum, her having that supportive community has been a real lifesaver for her. And I don't say that lightly. I think the fact that people are on there sharing their stories of how running and exercise is supporting their well-being has helped kind of normalise my mum's feelings, which is a powerful thing in itself. I think just generally speaking, so Red January isn't this 1 month novelty challenge. It's about forming habits that will support you all year round. So actually for that community to hear from them throughout the year, and here in terms of the impact that it's had on their life overall. So we hear from people, especially in families and things like that. Actually, it's been that time that they've all come together, and then they've managed to sustain that all year round as well. And it's brought about really positive habits in people's lives. So for different organisations, so we do have workplaces and things like that taking part. And they've talked about, they feel like they've got their lunch break back. So they'll go out for a run now instead of sitting at their desk, which I know we're all prone to do from time to time. But it's been amazing to hear that all year round people are continuing what they started in January, which is great.
What are the plans for Red January then? Because I feel like it's grown exponentially over the years. Is there a plan to have like your own event or anything like that?
We are in the works of talking about that at the moment, actually, because we do recognise, obviously, for that 1 month, we're bringing people together.
Yeah.
And then on the 1st of February, we're still there, of course. We're looking at the rest of the year. So a couple of years ago, we set up Red Together, which is the umbrella company.
Right.
The idea being that we'll then continue our efforts to keep active all year round. So we're looking for partners all year round, and we're absolutely looking at events and things like that, as you're describing there, in terms of bringing people back together. And again, giving them another focus and a goal as well.
Where can anyone else find out about this? Where's the best place for someone to go online and to try and join the community?
So if you go to redjanuaryformind.co.uk, sign up to Red January 2020 is completely free. And when you sign up, you get the option to buy your exclusive Red January t-shirt, your snood or neck buff, or however you want to call it.
Yeah.
And also set up a Just Giving page as well for Mind. And then we'll encourage you to join the online channels. So we're there to support you and motivate you throughout your Red January experience.
So if anyone's listening to this, Hannah, and thinks, I probably could do a bit more running in January, what would you say to them to encourage them to sort of take part in Red?
I would say, appreciating that obviously there's 31 days in January, that's no mean feat if you are deciding to run. So just take it slowly. Listen to your body. Small steps. We'd ideally advise that on the 1st of January, you just start small and run walk if you need to. But really, just keep listening to yourself. As I said, for some people, knocking out 20 miles comes easily to them. But if you want to use it as a base to train for Couch to 5K, then we've got plans on the website which will help you do that. But just do what works for you.
Have you got any big running goals coming up in 2020, other than Red?
So I'm doing the London Marathon.
Great.
Which I'm really looking forward to, actually. I got a ballot place a couple of years ago and I've actually deferred it.
Yeah.
Because I would really like to try for a time, which I probably shouldn't be sharing this, actually, because then I'm accountable.
Say it now. I think there's some evidence to suggest that when you go out there, yes, the time, you say it, you're possibly more likely to do it.
Oh, okay. This is good.
We had a sports psychologist on who talked about the fear of failure. And how that most people will underachieve due to their not stating a positive goal at the beginning of their training. So use the positivity. Don't be shy of the goal.
All right, I should embrace this.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Are you going to win? You're going to win the whole thing.
Yeah, this is it. Completely.
You've heard it here first. So the London Marathon. And then I've also found out I've got a place on the Chicago Marathon.
Oh, amazing.
Oh, wow.
Which has been on my kind of bucket list for a long, long time. Yeah. So, yes, I'm really excited about next year. Really excited.
Okay, well, I'll be pacing the 3:45 brigade at London.
I can't say I'm going to be there.
So.
Oh, it's a good. That's a goal, though.
But we could run together. Is that a motivation? Probably not.
Did my face not necessarily?
We now see that you ran 3:30. We'll know why.
Yeah, Hannah, thanks so much for coming on the Run As Well podcast. It was great to talk more about Red January, and it's a fantastic, fantastic thing. And hopefully, people listening to this will sign up, and it will chime with them.
Yep. Thank you. It's a pleasure to spend time with you both.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
So, Rick, it's the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Runners like stats.
Yep.
So I thought we'd do some big numbers of 2019.
Sounds good.
You ready?
Yep.
1:59:40. What's that going to be?
Oh, hang on.
It's the marathon time run by Eliud Kipchoge, the first ever sub-2 marathon.
Yeah, staggering.
I mean, that happened this year. That's pretty mental.
Yes.
That's number one on the list.
For sure.
2:14:04, a new women's record run by Kenya's Bridget Koskei.
Yeah, equally impressive in its own way, for sure.
Here's a single number that everyone will get, you know, this is important. It's 4%. Which is kind of actually not really this year. This year was more like a next percent, but we'll stick with 4%.
Okay, yeah.
Right, and that's percentage of improvement in running economy by those wearing the Nike Vaporfly shoes.
Yeah.
Which, you know, now is more, isn't it? I think it's like 7% or
something. Yeah, well, they were saying it's at least 4%. That seems to be the...
32.7 degrees centigrade, which is the temperature during the women's marathon at the World Cup in Doha. 28 athletes pulled out in total.
Yeah, and I think they moved the Tokyo Marathon, didn't
they?
As a result of that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, I think, yeah, just generally because it makes no sense to make people run really far in really hot weather.
Yeah.
Funny that no one's really cottoned on to that. 41, number of pacers who assisted Kipchoge during his sub-2 marathon. One gold medal won by Britain's Dina Asher-Smith in the 200 metre at the World Champs. Go, Dina.
Yeah, agreed. And came third in the Sports Personality of the Year, which is nice.
Yeah, that is good. Representation matters.
Agreed.
I think without that, sort of, not to throw shade at the Sports Personality of the Year award, but it somewhat is female light in nominees sometimes.
For sure.
You know, it's good that that was there.
Yeah, good, good. Well deserved.
Yes, absolutely.
And who knows? You know what? She does really well in Tokyo next year. Maybe she could win.
Let's hope so. £1 billion. All right? Yeah, the London Marathon's overall fundraising total since its inception in 1981. Thanks a billion.
Yeah.
I didn't write that. Rick wrote that. Just so you know. 83 hours, 12 minutes and 23 seconds, which is the new record for the spine race set by Jasmine Paris. I mean, people always say whilst expressing milk for her baby at aid stations just to add an extra zing to the whole thing. But, you know, I think the time itself is pretty phenomenal.
Sure.
Just running.
Yeah, incredible.
4, which is the number of years of which controversial running coach Albert Salazar is now banned from the sport, along with Russia. So
yeah, so it's been a good year of banning.
Yeah, it has, hasn't it? 2,620 is the number of barefoot miles that Anna McNuff has run.
Yeah, on a barefoot Britain adventure.
Which is not.
Fair play. Mm. Yeah. I wonder how many blisters she got. Maybe that was actually the blister count.
It's true, yeah, yeah. 0, which is a big fat 0 for the number of finishers at this year's Barclay Marathon, which since 1995, only 15 people have completed it.
Yeah, it's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
It's tough, isn't
it's
it?
It's a tough one.
It's a tough race, that. Like, you really got to be ready. You really got to get your, you know, get the right shoes.
That'll be it. That's what's stopping everyone.
Get the right shoes on, for God's sake.
12K versus 8K. This is the distance run by men at the national cross-country race compared to the distance run by women.
Yeah.
Come on, everyone.
Yeah, come on. Let's equalise that. Yeah. Hopefully 2020, maybe that's going to be the year that happens. Well, I hope
exactly.
I hope so.
And 250,000, which is the number of listens for this podcast.
Get in there. 250,000.
Right.
We're very, very grateful. Thank you very much for tuning in.
That's amazing. So thanks, everyone, for that. Right. Those are your big numbers.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, we're very lucky to have not one, but two great guests on this end of year show. And we're delighted to be joined by Stephen Crompton next. Stephen is running 2,500 miles across Africa in January. Steve, welcome to the Runners World podcast.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
Can we start by why you got into running in the first place? I understand that you say that running saved your life.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'd have to take you back all the way to when I was 11 years of age. I got heavily involved with drugs, and I started off smoking cannabis and then went on to chemicals, ecstasy, amphetamines, cocaine, and that sort of, you can imagine, that escalated into crime and you know, took me down a really dark path up until the age of 16, when my circle of friends started to use crack cocaine and heroin, and that scared the life out of me. So I decided to escape that life and join the army. Joined the army, spent maybe a year doing really well, loved the training, loved, there was a lot of running, a lot of physical sort of training, and it just, yeah, it was so good to be away from that life of drugs and just self-sabotaging behaviours, you know. But because of that drug use at a young age, you know, I had this addictive nature. So, you know, after about a year, I started to, you know, drink a bit more. And once the training died down a bit and the phase two side kicked in, where you're sitting around waiting to get on courses and stuff, you had more time. And so, I'd start drinking more and I started to gamble. So I'd become extremely addicted to gambling within a short space of time. And It was absolutely awful. It was the worst than any addiction. You know, the drugs, the alcohol, the gambling just really took me downhill. And within 2 years, I was discharged from the army. One night in the bar, I had put my last £400 into the fruit machine, and I was just frustrated after a year of losing all my money, struggling with finances, I come back to the bar later on in the evening, smashed the machine up and took my money out of it. I was just completely frustrated and in a lot of financial difficulty at that time. So, yeah, that was the end of my career in the army. I'd fought so hard to get away from the drugs and that life, put that life behind me. And then I had gone back down to where I begun, you know. It was awful. I ended up on the streets after my discharge from the army. I reached my lowest ebb and my lowest point of my life at that stage, because I'd tried to take my life after being discharged from the army, and I spent a lot of time on the streets just drinking bottles of neat spirits, of alcohol, and I was just at the end of that. I started smoking heroin and crack cocaine, and I'd just completely given up on my life. Within 6 months, I'd gone from serving soldier for Her Majesty to being in Her Majesty's prison. I got sent to prison after 6 months of my discharge from the army, and went on to spend 4 months in prison for stealing alcohol from a bar, and just to drink myself into the ground, because I was just emotionally and physically finished after being discharged from the army. So that was quite a tough time. But after my discharge from the prison, I started to, I didn't start to rebuild, but I didn't have the energy to do much. I just sort of existed for maybe five years. It was just a hell of a traumatic period throughout my life, from 11 years of age up until 20. Yeah, and I got to 26, and I was still between my discharge from prison and probably 25, 26. I was still battling with the drugs and the gambling and the alcohol. And I got to a point where I was just so fed up. And the fear of not, reaching my full potential in life, I just started to change. I thought, I started running. I'd finish work and I'd go running in the evening. I started doing therapy for the gambling and everything else. But the running was great, because actually I found something where it was like my escape, like the drugs and the alcohol and everything was. Now I got into this running and I'd be able to just escape for hours on end and really... And you'd feel great afterwards.
Yeah.
Like when you take drugs or you drink or anything like that, you're looking to escape something, and you're also looking to feel good from it as well. So running offered me that, So it was, I started running, and I entered my first half marathon, the Great West Run in Exeter. I trained for maybe a month. It was in October. I think I started really running in September. I trained for, so maybe 2 months, September, October, but about a month and a half. And I had a time that I wanted to get with 1:30, and I managed to come in at 1:30:46.
Right.
And although I was a little bit gutted, it was euphoric, I was amazed how amazing it was running down that straight with everyone cheering. And actually, you didn't just feel... just the great feeling from the running, which you get, but just that feeling of strength and I'm actually quite good at something, and I'm actually quite good at this. Although I didn't finish in the top 10.
It's still a very, very good debut. And like you say, it's more, you gave it your best. That's what running can give you, isn't it? It's a sense of achievement, I think.
Yeah. I think you can push yourself, and you can test how strong you are, and just keep going. And there's no limits to how far you're willing to push yourself, or how far you want to go. It's totally up to you, isn't it? So it's a really, good way to sort of turn your life around.
So from that point of sort of realizing that, this was something that you took a lot of solace from, but also that you were good at and you felt the challenge of it was very rewarding, how did you get from that point to coming up with the idea of running 2,500 miles across Africa?
I'd gone out to Uganda last year to volunteer with a project called Amari, and they support street children, children off the streets and into education. And, I mean, from a background of quite a very troubled youth myself, 11 years of age, getting heavily addicted to drugs and stuff. I see these children on the street, 4 or 5 years of age, no one to turn to, no help. And there was just that that young boy inside of me, I suppose, you know, that that suffered as a child, could really relate to it. And I knew that running had saved my life, and I sort of thought, I'm going to use this to save these children's lives, you know. So I'm going to go and do something and set up a charity, which is what we did. And I initially thought, right, I'm going to set up a stage mass endurance running events, and we're going to make some money off of them, and then we're going to help these kids off the streets and into education and stuff. And then I thought, no, I need to do something bigger than that. And I thought, why don't I just go and run across Africa? You know, so
normal thought.
I went on, yeah. I went onto Google, as you do, and started typing in "run across Africa," see if anyone's done it before. Yeah. And I noticed a couple of people have done it, but only a handful. And you know, compared to say something like climbing Mount Everest, where 4,000 people have done
it, or across
it,
America, yeah, or something like that. Yeah,
there's a lot more people that have done it. So I thought, ah, this is great, because you know, I wanted something that was going to raise enough awareness to, you know, towards the extreme poverty of the children and stuff. So I knew I was good at running. I knew I'm able to run through a lot of pain, because when you're running 2,500 miles, or when you're running back-to-back marathons like I'm doing in training, it's, you have to run through a lot of pain for a long period of time. And I'm comfortable in that pain cave, you know.
I like, yeah.
That's where I feel most comfortable in there. So I'm geared up to do long distance stuff like this. So I thought, you know, perfect. I'm going to go and run across Africa and hopefully raise a load of awareness and money for the street children out there.
It's 95 marathons, isn't it?
Yeah, 95.
It's a long old way, that's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you, because you're based down in Devon, right?
In Exeter, yeah.
How are you sort of training in terms of distance down there, or are you just, and then how are you going to do it? I don't know what the weather's like in January in Africa.
It's
pretty hot.
Yeah, it's pretty hot.
So I heard Devon's pretty warm, but
it's Devon is a bit of a difference. Yeah. Yeah, maybe like 39 degrees difference. Oh, you know, the lowest temperature's around 20 degrees at night through Africa.
Wow.
And it can get up to 40 degrees, you know, especially in Namibia, running through the desert and stuff like that. So we're gonna have a lot of challenges along the way. My training, you know, I've been training a lot, running distance along. I work like 12 hours a day, so my training has to be done in the mornings and, yeah, and on the weekends. I train at 5 o'clock in the morning. I go running 10 miles around the coastline down in Exeter, Exmouth. And I spend the weekends doing back-to-back marathons and strength training and getting myself in the zone, yeah, for the run. But it's quite hard to prepare yourself for the temperatures and the heat and stuff like that. I know mentally I'm you know, 100% prepared for it. So as long as I have that time to acclimatise when I land in Tanzania, then I'll be ready.
And are you going east to west, or are you going west to east?
I'm running from east to west.
Okay.
So running from Dar es Salaam.
Yeah.
I'm going to have one foot in the Indian Ocean, and then we're going to run through Tanzania, Zambia, and across Namibia, yeah, through national parks, teaming with wildlife and the Namib Desert, you know.
Is it a dangerous route? I mean, other than like, you know, the heat, the temperature, do you care about wildlife and that kind of thing?
Well, you know, we're wild camping throughout on the trip.
Wow.
So you know, we've got a support vehicle and a support team, and we'll be camping wild throughout. So yeah, there's obviously danger involved with that. You can't go and camp wild in Africa and not be any danger of any wildlife coming into your, you know, camp or something. So yeah, we've done a bit of research. We sort of know what to do and what not to do, but we can't actually stop any, you know, wildlife coming at us. So we just got to sort of deal with that as and when it comes.
Sorry, Ben, go on.
I was going to say, well, you obviously you've had some time in the army, and you're also on Channel 4's SAS, Who Dares Wins.
Yeah.
So is any of that applicable? Was that a good experience, or is that just...
Yeah, I mean, the SAS Who Dares Wins was I'd done that just after, I'd applied for that just after running my first half marathon. Right. I, you know, doing the running just made me feel so strong, and finishing in that time as well, having a goal and getting so close to it, I was like, I found something that could help me turn my life around. But when I seen the first series of the SAS Who Dares Wins, and I you know, when I was discharged from the army, that was my lowest point because I had completely lost myself. You know, I was on the streets and it was a very dark time, and I lost a lot of pride and you know, self-esteem from my discharge from the British Army, because I'm from a background of, you know, a family that have all served in the military. So it really broke me. And I seen the SSU Des Wins, and I thought, this is a great opportunity to be able to prove myself and get my pride back and my self-esteem. And I applied for it. And it was very difficult, because for everyone, it's different, the amount of pressure that's on you. The actual task, it's all the same for everyone, but the amount of pressure you're putting on yourself depends how much it means to you. You know, I'm there because of this terrible situation in my life that I'm trying to sort of, you know, redeem myself in a way. And it was tough. I really put a lot of pressure on myself.
You did well, though, right? You were top three, weren't you?
Yeah, I mean, I was withdrawn from interrogation after 22 hours of a possible 24. So I was, you know, I was 2 hours away from the end. Me and John Stiles were pulled out together, and it was an amazing experience, and one that I could carry on growing strong with my running as well. You know, shortly after sort of finishing the SASU Des Wins, I come out of there and I trained even harder. And, three months after that, I went and ran a 1 hour 20 at Bournemouth Half Marathon. Finished 17th out of like 3,500. So, it certainly it gave me my belief back and helped me get strong.
I think your story is absolutely fantastic. I wonder if there's anyone who's listening to this who's at a low ebb themselves and might be thinking about, you know, getting back into running or taking up running. What would be your advice to someone in that situation?
I would just start doing it, you know, get out there, find somewhere. I love running by the sea or in woodlands, just away from all the, you know, all the city and all the, you know, all the sort of overwhelming stuff, you know, just get away from that, get out, run along the coast, run along the sea, put your headphones in, listen to something motivational, you know, start to build that motivation up, because actually going out running can be quite difficult sometimes, and you have to have a bit of willpower and a bit of strength to get out there and do it. So when you're out there running, get your motivational speeches in you. You know, we've got thousands of them on YouTube, just, you know.
Do you like, is that what you've got, have you used those before? Rather than music, do you like to just hear like an impassioned speech?
I sort of fluctuate between the two, but certainly when I started running, after the way that my life had gone, there was a lot to rewrite, you know, a lot of bad negative beliefs and sort of stuff that, so I listened to hours and thousands of hours of motivational speeches, you know, to reprogram my subconscious, because it was full of a lot of bad things, you know. So I would get out there and, you know, find somewhere nice out in nature and get their motivational speeches in your ear, and it'll change your life.
Yeah, you mentioned your charity. What's the name of the charity that you're money for?
It was called Run for Child Poverty. I set it up initially because I was like running and child poverty, putting the two together. We've just gone through a sort of renaming and rebranding process, and we're now named it Challenge Child Poverty.
Okay.
Because we're going to be staging many different challenges. It's, you know, not just running. We're going to be doing swimming, hiking. We're going to be creating a whole series of challenges where we're going to 100% of all the money we raise is going to be going to projects, small projects around the globe that support children off the streets and into education. Challenge Child Poverty, it's really coming together now. It started off as just myself, and now we've got a team of 15 volunteers.
Right.
And they're all amazing, amazing guys. And
where can people go to find out more information about that?
So you can visit challengechildpoverty.org.uk, our website. We've got social pages on Facebook and Instagram. And, you know, there's a landing page on our website, which will be covering the whole run across Africa as well, where you can catch up on there. It'll have a live map updated every hour of where we are, and, you know, a daily blog. And you'll be able to really follow the journey. And if you want to support us, get on over to the website.
That's great.
Stephen, that is firstly an amazing story on your behalf and an amazing thing that you're attempting to do. So all the best for January. We will be dot watching.
Yeah.
We'll keep an eye on you and we'll check in with you once you're done.
Great.
See how it went. That'll be really good. But thanks so much for joining us
amazing.
On the podcast.
Thank you very much for having me.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Runner's World podcast. A huge thanks to our guests, Hannah Beecham and Steve Crompton, and to you, of course, for listening.
The Runner's World podcast was recorded at Number 8 Studios in Soho, ho, 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 and is available on Acast, iTunes, and all your favourite podcast apps. If you've enjoyed this episode, please give us a review. We'll see you again next week and have a fantastic Christmas and New Year.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.